You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks, builtforthestage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. Today, exciting one. Got ourselves a fit lady here, a talented lady, singer, dancer, actress, Elise Needery.
Hi.
Was that good?
Was that right? Really good, yeah.
She just recently closed King Kong, and I'm doing, what's his name?
John Hoche.
I'm doing my best John Hoche impression, one of the voices of King Kong, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So Elise just closed that, and King Kong, I saw it twice, and yeah. Elise made her Broadway debut in King Kong, right?
I did, yeah.
Guys, welcome Elise to the podcast. Yay, Elise. Ooh. Oh my gosh. It's just me, but Dory's over here too. She's smiling. She's welcoming Elise. So yeah, thanks. Your Broadway debut. Okay, so word on the street was I read a blog on The Ensemblist. We were just talking about it. Shout out to Mo Brady. We'll be talking about Broadway Podcast Network in a second. Maybe I already talked about it. Depends on how the editor put it in. What'd you do, Alan? This might be out, but anyways, Mo Brady, Ensemblist, also a part of Broadway Podcast Network, put out a blog with Elise, and you were talking about how you were doing Shrek, right?
Yeah, I was doing Shrek.
Have you told the world this and like other media platforms, like how this happened? Or
no.
Is it really just on the blog?
No, I don't think I haven't told the world.
Mo, as much as I think everyone reads your blog, just in case, can you tell us just a little bit about how you booked something, you left, you were doing it, and then you're like, oh, wait, I'm not doing it. I'm going to Broadway.
Yeah. So I was in final callbacks for King Kong the week before I was supposed to do a 2-month stint at Sacramento. And I had my final callback and I didn't hear anything. So I flew to California to start my shows. And I was in my first day of rehearsal for Shrek. I got an email asking if I could come back to watch a King Kong rehearsal with the puppet. And it put me into a great deal of stress and turmoil. But my Sacramento artistic director and director were fantastic. And I was able to fly out on a Wednesday night. I took the red eye. I slept for an hour. When I got here, I went to the theater with my suitcase. I watched the rehearsal, and then I went to the airport, and I flew back to California. And it was a lot of traveling and flying.
I'm sorry. You didn't audition, though.
No.
They're
I just
like,
watched
hey,
the rehearsal.
And like what? Like, do you think you could do this? Like, what was it?
Yeah, I think they just wanted to make sure that the people that they were considering knew exactly what they were getting themselves into as far as working with the puppet, which is a really intense job and it's a lot on your body. And
yeah.
So I think they wanted to make sure that the people that they really wanted were 100% in it versus just like, yeah, I want to do it. Sounds great. Without seeing what it actually was.
Right.
So
I had quite a bit of people from King Kong doing Built for the Stage and still are. I won't name them because I don't want to forget anyone and get in the doghouse, but they were all saying, and I agree after seeing it, probably one of the most physically demanding shows of this year in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. For everybody, there was a ton of dancing, and then for the people who were working with the puppets, even like double what the dancing they were doing plus all of the puppet work.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
You were a swing in the show, right?
I was a swing, yeah.
How many tracks did you cover?
Well, I was initially hired to cover 7, but then...
That's it, huh? Just 7.
Well, and then when we started the show, we got our closing pretty soon after that. So they cut down my track. So I only ended up covering 2 tracks.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, sure.
The coming on and going out.
Yeah,
but, so that's really cool though. How amped were you when you were in Sacramento and then all of a sudden you got the call that you're going to Broadway?
I was really excited. I also was a little bit nervous because I didn't want to ruin any sort of relationship. I love, I've been working at Sacramento for the last 4 years and they're a really amazing group of people. So I just wanted to do the best by everybody and everyone was really, really kind and supportive and it was really cool. And I got to finish doing my show, which was Shrek. I finished doing that and then I got to come back the next day and start rehearsal.
Oh, so you got to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Well, I got to finish the one show. I was supposed to do four shows, but I only got to do one.
Got it. Well, I feel like if you had been there for 4 years, it was probably like a family atmosphere.
They're fantastic.
I would have been like, oh yeah, our Elise is going to go be on Broadway.
They were really
go
sweet.
Do your thing, girl.
Yeah,
go
everyone was really great. Really nice.
That's cool. Cool. Well, congrats on your debut.
Thank you.
The matinee you made your debut was the New York City Blackout.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I made my debut on a Saturday matinee and it was really exciting. We had like a champagne toast up in the dressing room and I was with some friends and then we went to go get food at a restaurant on 9th Avenue and then we walked back. And I dropped one of my friends at the train and he was texting me down, like once he was in the train, he's like, it's really weird. All the lights are off downstairs in the train station. I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I was at this corner, 54th and Broadway. And I was like, oh yeah, it looks like the lights are out here. But like the Stephen Colbert sign was still lit up and the King Kong sign was still lit up. So I was like, well, something must be happening. So I walked up into the dressing room and like started, you know, well, I wasn't on that night. So I wasn't getting ready. I was just like sitting there and my dressing roommate and I, and we were just kind of talking like, what would happen if like a blackout, like what would happen if there was a blackout and then the lights just went out, it was completely dark. Mm-hmm. We were evacuated from the theater. We filed out and we just like stood in the street and they canceled the show. Mm. So I made my debut and then
the evening
Broadway
show
blacked
was,
out.
Was close, got it.
Yeah.
So let's get back to, you make your debut, then not pretty quickly the show closes.
Mm-hmm.
How what was the time frame there? You make your debut and then how long were you on?
I made my debut I think on the 14th of July and then we closed on the 18th of August.
Okay.
So I was on like in the show for a little over a month,
right,
and started rehearsals. I was like 2 months with rehearsals,
cool,
involved in the show.
Now you're back at it.
Yeah.
So this is Bill for the Stage, a Broadway fitness brand, but I don't talk fitness a ton. I might with you.
That's
because
fine.
you're in the game and I'm excited about that. But to relate it to fitness, I like to sometimes go through like either mental struggles or like ups and downs because that's what fitness really is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So how was it mentally or just how was that for you to get a dream and then close it so quickly?
I was kind of just trying to stay positive the whole time, even the whole situation of like flying to New York and flying back to California and then leaving California to come back to New York. It just felt like such a roller coaster and like my stomach was in knots for like a month straight. And then I kind of wondered if when I joined the show, if it was going to be closing sometime soon, obviously hoping that it wasn't. And when I looked on their website, it was like, we're open till January 11th. So I was like, great. Or selling tickets till January 11th. So I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, we got our closing notice. So I guess I just was trying to stay positive the whole time and just be like, this is great, even though it's short.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Dory and I were talking about a little bit, just the business of theater.
Yeah.
You know, you got, I would assume, a big budget show, a lot of things went into that,
yeah,
as far as the technology and the effects. And you also had a huge theater.
Yeah,
huge.
Massive.
So to fill that thing.
1,700 something seats.
Yeah, yeah, big theater. Mm-hmm. So that's a big ask. And
yeah.
It was a big puppet too.
Oh yeah, it's really big.
So now that you're pounding the pavement, so like in fitness, the whole like fitness isn't owned, it's rented. And rent is due every day. You know that?
No, I don't know that. I've never heard it before.
You know that one.
No,
it's on t-shirts. It's everywhere.
Everything's on a t-shirt. But
all right. Touche.
I've never heard it.
Do you think workout is with an E?
No, I've never seen Workout with an E. That's very clever.
All right.
I like that.
Thank you very much. All right. So going back to that, now that you're back pounding the pavement, to go with that analogy, how do you pay rent on a daily basis? Meaning, like, how do you better yourself? You said you're in dance today. Mm-hmm. Like, what have you done to get just back on the straight and narrow for that next gig?
Train a lot. Take dance class, take
train,
voice lessons.
What do you, just, okay, so the umbrella of training, everything mm-hmm. under, okay, so what's under your training umbrella? What is that?
It's kind of varied. It depends on the week and what I can do. I try to take two ballet classes a week, try to take like two or three yoga classes a week and fit in the gym anytime I can. Like mm-hmm. If I miss a class because of an audition or something, then I have like an hour of free time, then I'll just go to the gym. And I take voice lessons. I try to take one voice lesson every 2 weeks. And I usually rent a studio. I try to do it like 4 times a week just to practice and vocalize.
All right, cool. So you're putting the work in.
I'm trying to.
You are. I would say that is above the standard.
Yeah. I was doing that even when I was in the show. And that was kind of when I first got the show and I didn't know it was closing. I was excited that I would finally be able to just afford dance classes and afford voice lessons and afford acting classes without even like having to prioritize one over the other.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Born and raised, lived there your whole life?
I was born in Kansas and then moved to Utah as a baby. So basically.
Whole time.
Yeah.
And then where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of Utah.
The Utes.
Mm-hmm. The Running Utes.
Uh-huh. You studied theater there? What did you study?
Well, I started college. I did 2.5 years there, and then I moved to New York when I was 20 to do a dance program at Broadway Dance Center, mm-hmm. and I kind of just stayed.
Yeah.
I didn't kind of stay. I did stay.
Are you a regular instructor there? You're on staff?
No, I sub there pretty rarely. I do like sub yoga there, and then sometimes like I worked there as an employee, so sometimes they asked me to do like different groups and stuff like mm-hmm. that, which was great.
So do you teach yoga often?
I do, yeah.
How often do you teach yoga?
Usually once or twice a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're a yoga instructor.
I am.
What type of yoga do you do?
Mostly vinyasa.
Vinyasa. Okay.
But I am getting more into like restorative because it's easier to teach and yeah.
What style would you recommend a performer to take?
Vinyasa.
Why?
It's a little more athletic, and at least the way that I teach it, I try to make it athletic and definitely get like heart rates up and then go into like a nice, like deep stretch. Like I usually always do like a half pigeon, nice hip opener at the end, and then meditate after that.
Yeah.
I think but even like a restorative is really nice, just like deep stretching for an hour.
Would you recommend someone doing yoga before a show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you do any mobility activation movements that you like to do as well? Not so much like stretching, but as far as like anything that is a go-to for you to like get your muscles firing?
Yeah. I like to kind of run in place. I don't know if that counts. Or like jumping jacks, like just get my blood pumping. I do like leg swings.
Okay.
I do this one thing called, I don't think this is the name, but I call it sneaky burglar, where you like move your legs and like kind of like lubricate your hips.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So you know sneaky burglar.
I know it now. I know the name now. Okay.
Yeah.
So on that point, like I'm trying to get to like, what's your go-to pre-show routine? So you run in place, jumping jacks.
Yeah. Sneaky, it depends on if sneaky burglar. It depends on if I had like taken a yoga class before the show. Mm. But if I hadn't, yeah, I'd probably like do like a little bit of cardio and then I move around a little bit. I like to move my back around as much as possible. It's like a cat-cow or just any sort of like fluid motion through my back. So like a jazz warm-up, like flat backs.
Cool.
So
you're also in the like choreographer scene with, I saw Elf. You were on the tour and then after you set the show somewhere?
Yeah. So I was on the tour the second year and the third year, and then I set the tour in 2015, and then I set the tour last year, mm-hmm. 2018.
I saw that on your gram, and I love Elf.
Yeah, so it's a great show.
I had to ask.
It's really fun.
Is that something in the future or now that you would want to get further involved with, like the other side of the table?
Yeah,
if you will?
It's really fun. I love Elf. I love the show Elf a lot. So setting it for me is a really good time. I like working that way and working with people that way, and then seeing the finished product and just feeling, you know, proud of the people, of the cast and the crew. And it's just cool to like see something even through like the casting process to like opening night. I'm like, oh, this is great.
What do you like better? Do you like being in the show, or did you like that experience?
I like being in the show for now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do love that experience. I think it's great. Mm. It's cool.
I have made the switch. I now enjoy directing more than being on the stage.
Yeah.
But cool. Other than teaching yoga, you teach other type of fitness classes?
Teach bar.
Bar?
Yeah. Bar fitness.
What is a bar class? What is that like? And should I take it?
You could take a bar class. It's based in like ballet loosely from like how I see it. It starts off with like a plank series, push-up series, and then moves into like a little bit of weight work with your arms, like light weights, high reps, and then moves into thigh where you use the bar. So you'll be in like kind of a first position, kind of like doing some thigh work, and it's like a lot of static holding, a lot of small pulsing. It's a good workout. I don't like to do it all the time, but it's a good workout.
It's like a every once in a while type deal.
Yeah, I think so. There's people that swear by it that do it every day.
It's
very niche.
Okay.
But it's a nice like 1 hour, like you feel like you've worked like your core, your arms, your thighs, your glutes.
Yeah. So on a daily basis, how do you stay balanced? Like, what are daily practices that you do on the daily?
Daily, I try to keep in contact with family and friends. I try to like send text messages, and I guess weekly I try to make a point of at least once or twice a week spending time with friends or doing something that's not related to theater or fitness.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
What's some of your favorite things to do outside of the business?
I love hiking. I love riding my bike.
Can you explain hiking to me?
It's
I don't get it.
It's walking.
I don't get it.
Hiking is walking. but in like the forest.
I've heard that.
Yeah,
I've
usually have so to look much. Down a lot too, because there's a lot of like roots and stuff you can trip over.
Yeah. And then
walks.
What is it about like getting to a destination to see?
No, it doesn't have to be. And that's like kind of like the yogic part of it. You know, it doesn't have to be the destination. It can be the journey.
Can't you just drive?
You could.
I'm all about that.
Yeah, no, you could drive.
Okay. I don't have to hike.
No, you don't have to hike. Nobody has to hike.
Do you like camping?
I love camping.
Why?
But I'm from Utah. So I like grew up in the mountains. And that's like what we did.
Hey, guys. What do you say we go outside, sleep on the ground, get bitten by bugs all night, and eat it might be good food. Maybe you grill like
s'mores? Have you never had a s'more?
I've had s'mores. But you can have them indoor.
Have you never had dehydrated lentil soup?
See, that's what I'm talking about. Is it good?
I mean, I think it's good.
My cousin, Michael. What's up, Michael? Shout out. He's a huge hiker.
Okay.
And I just...
You don't get it.
I don't get it. Well, and these pictures are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, bro, just drive there, you know?
Yeah. Well,
like to bike. Let's go back. You said your Instagram's funny. It said it's got like a bike emoji and free samples. That's what it says.
I like free samples like at Costco and stuff.
Okay.
And I bike everywhere. I had to take my bike to the shop today because.
What kind of bike do you have?
I have a Specialized hybrid bike. So it's not like a mountain bike, but it's not a road bike.
It's not a road bike. Does it have a motor?
No. That's sacrilegious.
You don't deliver Chinese on the side.
I don't know, but maybe I should start.
That's not your survival
to get a
job?
Couple extra dollars. Yeah, you know, those are illegal.
Everyone has them, though.
I know.
You know, the NYPD, they just have a lot more on their plate than to worry about that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Maybe. I got stopped once on 8th Avenue. They were stopping bikes. and looking at their mechanisms.
All right, so they were getting after it.
That was like one time in the last 7 years. So.
What part of New York City do you live where you're going to Costco?
Oh, that was just an example because I feel like everyone knows Costco has lots of samples.
So you don't go to Costco?
Not in New York, because I go with my family when I go to Utah.
Okay, Costco.
Yeah, have a nice sample lunch.
What was the last sample you had?
Oh, I don't remember. Probably like hummus or something dumb.
Okay.
But I'm sure it was great.
So you're not like sampling every week?
Well, no. Yeah, I'm not making it to Costco every week.
I picture you're, not Costco, but I just picture your Instagram like you're just seeking the latest sample.
Well, they used to Mao's on 8th Avenue between 43rd and 44th Street. They would always have like falafel balls. And they'd just be like, hey, you want a falafel ball? I'd be like, yeah, I do. You know, it's like really nice. Yeah. And you're like on the go and you're like, I could use a little bite.
Why not?
Yeah, it's right there. Maybe I should change my Instagram so it doesn't say free samples. Because you're the second person this week that's asked me.
Oh, yeah? It's hilarious. Yeah. It was part of the reason I messaged you. I'm not even kidding you.
She likes free samples.
Well, I messaged Christine Cornish-Smith, who was just in Kiss Me Kate. Mm-hmm. And she's now a client. She's cool, a friend. And the only reason I messaged her was because her Instagram bio said something like, don't judge people or like treat people well or whatever, because you never know what they're going through.
Right.
And like, I try to live by that, especially when people piss me off and I'm like, why are you acting like this to me? Yeah. It's like, you know what?
It's not it's you.
Their life sucks. Right. They're trying to make your life suck.
Something happened. Yeah.
You don't know. So, all right.
And for me, it's free samples.
For you, it's free samples. That's why. Elise, any last words to your listeners out there?
Keep your head up and find as many free samples along the way as you can.
Head up, head on a swivel, look for those free samples. Seriously though, your schedule that you said that you do is inspiring. Like the red carpet's not just magically been rolled out to you. Like you're working.
I'm trying, yeah.
So I'm giving Elise a fist bump there, everyone. So fist bump to Elise. All right, well, this is the part where I've been saying, like, hang tight. Broadway Podcast Network will be releasing soon. But guess what? We're live, folks. So go to BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com. Check out all the other amazing podcasts that we have under our network umbrella. And, of course, please subscribe, rate, comment on Built for the Stage podcast. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website, BuiltForTheStage.com, or DM me at Built for the Stage. It's me, Roscoe. Signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.